You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Talking Sex.
How to break it to your partner now that the lockdown is going from level 5 to level 4. We may well not be allowed to leave the house for the foreseeable future until government changes its mind. But you may well have found out over the past 35 days that you're no longer in this thing with your significant other. Lorian Phillips, clinical psychologist, joins us live on the line. Lorian, thank you very much for giving up some of your worker's day. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you for inviting me.
So it's a difficult one. In any relationship, you normally have your time. You go to work, you see friends, and you have that time with your significant other. During lockdown, the time has only been with your significant other, maybe with a brief respite to the shops or the like. And during this time, we may well have come to the conclusion that the person you thought was the love of your life is really not for you, Lorian.
Which I think, Nick, is probably not a new thing. I think the difficulty with the lockdown is that we're living in a state of prolonged uncertainty, and that all of our, unfortunately, worst characteristics come to the fore. So I think that when we suddenly realize they're not the love of our life, I don't think it's sudden. I think it's probably been there all the time, and that probably this very stressful situation has just exacerbated it, highlighted it, or accelerated what was already there.
Stress is a horrible thing, right? And we may have tried our best to ensure that we had a peaceful lockdown, that we did our best to not let our very worst habits shine through. But it is what it is, right? If you're spending 35 days at home, eventually cabin fever is going to get you. How do you differentiate, though, from cabin fever, feeling the heat of the lockdown, the stress of the lockdown, and that actually translating into, I can no longer live with this person. I don't want to be with them.
I think it's a difficult question because, you know, it's like when people are hijacked and they have nightmares afterwards and trauma responses. And as a therapist, we say to them, you're having a normal response to an abnormal situation. And I think that's very much the same with lockdown. That, as you say, we're living with somebody suddenly 24/7. We normally have outlets like going out, going to friends, going to work, and suddenly all of our needs and all of our wants are concentrated on one person. And usually, as I say, with human nature, we often focus on the negative, so that instead of looking at how we can make this better, it's just, I have to look at you again and you again and you again, and I want you to fulfill all my needs and make this pleasant. And you're not doing that. So I think that the two, it's very, very difficult to separate and to decide, well, this is very much the end of the relationship. I can't stand the person. Or hang on a second, should we just wait and not have a knee-jerk reaction because this is an abnormal situation? And as I said, I think a lot of the things that come up have been brewing for a long time. They're not new information. It's just heightened information. But I think it's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction or premature to suddenly say, I can't stand the sight of you.
How exactly do you trust yourself and how you feel during such unprecedented times? We'll extrapolate on that a little bit more in a moment or so, but let's talk about that time that you've spent with your partner over the past 35 days. What's been your experience? Give us a call now, 011-883-0702, Niklas Bauer in conversation with Lorian Phillips on the Eusebius Mackayza Show. We're talking about the possible hair that's, or straw that's broken the camel's back in your relationship, this lockdown making you feel as though you've come to the realization you can't live with your significant other. If you can't call us on 011-883-0702, you can drop us an SMS 31702 or your WhatsApp line to 072-702-1702. So let's step back a little bit, Lorian, because for every couple that's had some severe problems during this lockdown, I'm sure that there's also a story of a couple that's just grown stronger and grown closer together and really seen their relationship flourish.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you raised that, that it's not all negative, because when I speak to certain of my clients, they say it's given them an opportunity to have real conversations that they haven't had the opportunity to have before. It's also given, like I have a client yesterday that I was speaking to, and normally when her and her husband have a fight, he disappears. He checks out, he leaves home, he might not return for a few days. And they were both giggling and saying he can't do that any longer because there's no place to go. And it's forced them to actually deal with each other differently and learn to communicate differently with assistance. And it's brought out a lot of new understandings about each other. So there've been lots of positives. Also, another client of mine reflected that the stuff that they'd normally, he and his wife would fight about, because they work together and on top of each other all the time, and he would get stressed and she would get stressed, that's gone. And it's actually given them the space to be more mindful of their interactions and have those important conversations. So it certainly hasn't been all bad all round.
Certainly an opportunity to try and reignite the reasons why you were with this person in the first place. If you want to try and broach those difficult conversations, and we'll get to the most difficult one of all, breaking up during a lockdown or deciding to pull the plug on your relationship at the end of lockdown. What's your approach in terms of you know, before you pull the plug, having that a line in the sand conversation with your significant other during lockdown saying, look, this needs to change and it needs to change now, or this isn't going to happen anymore?
Well, I think that, as I said before, for most people, it's not a surprise. So it's a case of which one in the partnership, and it might be both, is actually going to raise it. And there is usually one who is the more confrontative one and sometimes one who's the more avoidant one. And I think, first of all, one has to be very gentle in these situations, because you can't, you can emotionally separate, but you can't physically separate. And that is a vital thing. You can't pack your bags and get out. So I think it has to be a case of sitting down and saying, look, I don't know how you've experienced this time. For me, it's been incredibly difficult. I've seen things that have been very hurtful or difficult to live with or whatever it might be. And do you agree? Do you think there's an opportunity for things to be done differently? Or do you think that we need to start reviewing how we are going to deal with this when this is all over, with the possibility that we may not be together again? But I think we have to get the other person's perspective and make it as mutual, not mutual in the feeling, but mutual in the understanding of what is actually going on.
Give us a call now if you are facing troubles within your relationship, if attempts to grow closer during the lockdown with your significant other have failed, if you're having second thoughts about what the next step is. Give us a call now, 011-883-0702. That's 011-883-0702. You can also drop us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. Rick on the WhatsApp line says, my relationship with my wife is fantastic because I do lots of stuff outside my marriage. Now I'm getting into turbulent water. I need to get out urgent. A little bit cryptic there, Lorian, but what would your advice be to Rick?
Yes, what is that other stuff, one wonders? I think the very important thing in this situation is to be able to, and everybody lives in different situations. Some have big homes, some have small homes, but to be able to talk very much about spatial arrangements, like, I need this time on my own. This is how I recharge and I'm able to be a better partner to you or more responsive. So for the next hour, 2 hours, I'm going to go into the garage and do some exercise, or I'm going to sit in the garden and do my own thing. And to make it very clear, this is not personal, that I don't love you and care about you, but it's very much something that I need in order to recharge. So can we just draw the lines that for these 2 hours, 1 hour, whatever it might be, I'm left to myself. And that might be that I'm chatting to a friend, I'm doing a Zoom chat meeting with friends, I'm doing some exercise or doing work, whatever it might be. But in order to be clear, and I think the big thing is that it's not personal, it's just what I need for myself as a person.
Lorian Phillips, clinical psychologist, live on the line. We're talking sex and relationships, how to break it to your partner that the lockdown has possibly taught you don't love them anymore or can't be intimate with them. What about those that have open relationships already, Lorien? For instance, you know, we're living in the 21st century. Physical relationships outside marriage, outside committed relationships are becoming far more common. And now, during this lockdown, you only get to be intimate with one person.
Yep. You know, I was listening to a talk the other day, and we're talking about that monogamous relationships have the risk of boredom, and polyamorous or open relationships have the risk of jealousy. And this kind of capsizes all of that on its head, because now suddenly the person having the open relationship might be longing for the other person more, but can't go there. The person on the other end might be jealous. You suddenly spending all the time with your wife. And these are difficult things to negotiate, because I'm talking a lot about open, clear communication. And I think in an open relationship, it has to be even more so of, this is a situation. Can we maybe still sext each other, have Zoom intimate calls with each other, as long as it's okay with the other person? So it's very much how the other person responds to it and they buy into it.
Your thoughts, your comments on your relationship, any questions you have for Lorien Phillips, clinical psychologist, in conversation with me about breaking up your relationship after lockdown, or having serious thoughts about your relationship during lockdown. 011-883-0702. That's 011-883-0702. Anonymous messages in here, Lorien. My partner and I moved in together, and we're actually living together longer than we were dating. It could have been a potential banana skin and was a huge risk, but it paid off and made us much stronger. I'd also like to touch on the fact that most people, whether they're dating or living together, simply don't spend 24 hours of their day with that person. People have work and other places to go to take a break. I could get sick of a rock if I had to spend 24/7 with it for 5 weeks. So this is all an overreaction, isn't it? If they're breaking down as a result because they weren't genuine in the first place, perhaps.
Well, I think that, first of all, a new relationship always has its risks, because we always start new relationships in the honeymoon stage. The other person's the best thing since sliced bread. They never do anything wrong. And then suddenly you catapulted into living together overnight, where there's only a questionable amount of time before the fences start coming down or reality hits in. And, you know, that's really the kind of honeymoon phase is just gone, and we have to learn to deal with each other. So, as you say, it can either work beautifully, where you really do have those deep conversations a lot quicker, where you say, this is what I expect, this is what it's like for me, we've got to be real with each other, or it could completely blow up because Prince Charming or Princess Charming has now fallen off the white horse. But if it can grow and develop, then you're probably building a very good foundation for an ongoing relationship.
We've got Cheryl in Johannesburg. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, so far so good. Happy Workers' Day. What's your question for Dr. Lorien?
I just want to know why. I went with Bill. I'm married to a narcissist. It took me very long. I've been married to him 14 years. And then in the past 4 years, I've been able to recognize and realize that he's a narcissist. And what I've been doing in this time is just keep quiet whenever he sort of attacks me, or I try and mirror as far as possible, but sometimes it gets difficult because there's two children involved. So, yeah, I mean, knowing that a narcissist always try and win the situation, I've sort of been hoping that by keeping quiet, he would make the move because, yeah, the retaliation is a bit of an issue. So, does he have any advice for me on that, please?
So, does the keeping quiet help you?
Yeah, he doesn't, if I don't retaliate, and because he always wants to have confrontations, he wants to argue, he wants to beat her. So I've just realized I'm just keeping quiet, rather not giving something to fight about, just say yes. And if I'm, tell me I'm bad and I'm, nothing I do is right, and I just say yes. It's like that.
Yeah. I think, Cheryl, you know, as difficult as it is, if we weren't in the context of lockdown, it would be dealt with differently. But I think you're absolutely right. You found a good management technique to deal with the situation, because I think there's one thing that you've said that's very important, is that when we understand a person, like you said, he's a narcissist, and we understand what triggers the person or what feeds their narcissism, whatever it is, then we go on to management strategies. And that's what you've done. You've almost taken the emotion out of it and said, right, in order to deal with this in a very unnatural situation, being on top of each other, having children around, the best way to deal with this is just to keep quiet, because maybe that won't fan the flames as much. It might subdue him quicker. He might think he's always winning. So I think well done to you. You found a very effective coping strategy, because to challenge it in these times when there's no place to go is just more dangerous and, yeah, destructive emotionally.
Laurie, and if I may interject there as a layman, though, I mean, does Cheryl's case not also perhaps scream for the fact that the relationship needs some serious tending to post-lockdown? Maybe this being a holding phase?
I would really like to know in advance, because how do I get it started after lockdown that he now please needs to just go on? Because I think he's oblivious to the fact that I'm extremely unhappy.
Yeah. Well, narcissists are. It's usually all about their feelings and how they being upset or let down or whatever it is. And that's the problem. They usually are completely oblivious to their impact on others, how others are feeling. So, Nick, as you said, in the situation, you're stuck. You're living with this person and you've got to just make it work for all concerned, especially because they're children. But definitely, if it comes to the end of a lockdown, when we have a date or soon after, then it's important if you can get a narcissist into therapy, because that's another thing. Or they'll go and talk about how awful their wife is and how aggrieved they are. But then it's an opportunity to say, you know, we've had this time together, and whilst it's been fine on certain levels, on other levels it hasn't, and are you open to going and chatting to somebody about it? And even if it is to start off moaning about how terrible you are, Cheryl, the point is that an adept therapist will pick it up and start working with the narcissist to hopefully get them to see their part in the process.
Cheryl, is that something that you maybe want to try? Just, you know, try and, I don't know, put your differences on ice until the end of the lockdown? You know,
I have to, for the children's sake.
But then are you willing to try and resolve things post-lockdown, or are you done and dusted?
No, I think I'm done and dusted. You can only take so much of hearing that you're not good enough and nothing to do is right and they're so amazing and they're the best, and you just... It drains you, but for the children's sake, you keep quiet and you keep happy and you pretend to be, you know, but you're not, and it's pretentious all the time. I have been to marriage counselling. Unfortunately, at that time, I wasn't aware that he's a narcissist, so he coerced the therapist into believing that I'm the wrong one. But for me, it's like an ending cycle that will never end, because narcissists will never admit they're wrong. It's just the one thing, they'll rather die than admit they're wrong.
Well, Cheryl, thank you for being brave and sharing your story with us. And I wish you luck for the rest of lockdown and beyond. Also remember, you know, the people that are great don't need to tell everybody every 5 seconds.
Oh, for sure. That's why I don't have to boast about being amazing.
Cheryl in Johannesburg, thank you very much for that. It's good to try and keep your humor about these type of things. Lauren, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a very, very serious decision whether or not you're going to leave your intimate partner of, you know, several months, never mind several years. Even more complicated if you have children with them. But eventually, it comes a time when you're maybe not even your physical health, but your mental health would suffer if you don't make a move.
Absolutely. In certain cases, and as Cheryl said, especially with the narcissist, the response is you've got to get out because you're not going to win. And there are degrees of narcissism, but if it's like that where it almost is abusive, he's verbally abusive, he's telling how terrible she is and how wonderful he is, she needs to get out to help herself, to help her children. And then, you know, to look at what is it in her that drew her to such a person, because otherwise personalities tend to gravitate towards the same type unless there's an awareness of what is it in me that I'm always drawn to this person. Otherwise, we get kind of pattern repetition.
If you've just joined us, Lauren Phillips, clinical psychologist, talking to us about relationships during lockdown. Has this time at home with your partner taught you that you just cannot stand them anymore, that you need out? Got a very interesting comment here on the WhatsApp line. Join the conversation there on 0727021702. And perhaps that's what we can try and focus on in the second part of the hour there, Lauren. This anonymous contribution says, the lockdown is really taking its toll. Me and my partner fight constantly and we say things we simply don't mean. But my problem is that I have no sex drive whatsoever and I feel so sad about it. I feel so useless.
Yeah. First of all, I think that we have to realize that in the situation where people are under huge stress, be it financially, be it emotionally, whatever's going on, because humans do not like to exist in a state of uncertainty. And that's what we're in right now. That our basic needs, and if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, he talks of our basic needs, and those need to be met first, are physiological. Do we have food? Do we have shelter? Before we can go on to the next level of needs, and that's relationships, sexuality, all of those kind of things. And when we are shut down at that first level, we can't progress to the second. And I think it's more important for him that he goes, this is normal. This is, we are in an abnormal situation. And one of the things that can happen is a libido fallout. And that's okay. It doesn't mean it's forever. You know, the expression, this too will pass, is a very useful one in these situations. It's not forever, but it's real now. And it's important to perhaps talk about it to one's partner and say, I'm not feeling it. Not because of you, because the situation is incredibly stressful and the drive to, you know, be sexual is just not part of my creativity or range at the moment. And, you know, with the fighting and everything else, it's very easy when you're in the situation of a person 24/7. It's almost like we look to that person to suddenly fulfill all of our needs, which other people normally do, which is abnormal. And at the same time, there's a lot of battling over trivialities, like you took out the garbage, but I didn't, but you should have done this, but what about me? And a tit for tat. And almost to get beyond that, and before we get into the stage of just picking on each other, trying to take a step back and self-regulate. What's going on for me? Why am I so irritated at this moment? How can I convey this in a better way as opposed to just snap, snap, snap? Because snapping can help us at the moment, yes.
Apologies, we have to make a pit stop for the news headlines, but we'll continue this conversation, especially around lowered libido during the lockdown and what you can do about that in your intimate relationship.
702 Talking Sex.
Welcome back, Lauren Phillips, in conversation with myself, Niklaus Bauer, on the Eusebius Makeza Show. We're talking about how to end your relationship after lockdown, if all the signs are there that you can no longer be with this person that you thought would be forever. Give us a call now, 011-883-0702. We're unpacking the different approaches to it. The advice thus far that you've given, Lauren, is don't pull the trigger just yet. Lockdown clouding a lot of people's judgment, but let's talk about libido, right? Let's talk about a loss of sex drive during the lockdown that may very well have been a huge part of someone's decision to call time on their intimate relationship. You know, maybe perhaps telling themselves that their boyfriend, their girlfriend, their husband, their wife, well, he doesn't want to be intimate with me anymore. She doesn't want to have sex with me anymore. So obviously she doesn't love me and I need to leave.
And I think the important thing to know in this time is that our limbic system is, we operating from our limbic system, which is almost like our primitive brain. And it's our fight and flight. We're in survival mode. And the first thing that shuts down in survival mode is our desire for sex. Our libido goes down and with it, everything along. So I think, as I said, it's important to have that understanding, discuss it, and to know that there are other ways to connect. It doesn't have to be about sex. There are many ways to have intimacy. You can have a bubble bath together. You can decide to give each other a massage. You can just chat together and spend time cuddling, which doesn't always have to have this pressure of now it's got to lead to something. So there are many ways, cooking a meal together, watching a program you both love together. There are many ways of bonding and creating intimacy that don't have to equal sex, where each partner can still feel he loves me, she still loves me. It's just the situation at the moment, and we'll get back there.
It's a difficult one to try and see into the future when we live in such uncertain times. Mm-hmm. But before we move on to that difficult conversation that you have to try and broach the subject that look, after lockdown, we're just going to have to give it a rest and call it a day, perhaps. Let's talk about those practicalities. I mean, how do we reignite the sexual intimacy in our relationship? You said that it doesn't necessarily have to be sex. It can be a massage. It can be spending time together. But the actual practicalities of saying to your partner, instead of just coming out and saying it, I would like to have sex this evening. I need to be intimate. I need to feel close to you. How can you subtly have that conversation?
Subtle than sex. I think it's a case of perhaps being in bed with your partner, getting to bed, and the person who is needing it the most, almost starting to make the moves to be, and it might be tickling the person's arm. It might be telling them you love them. It might be telling them that you miss them. And sometimes it's a case of saying, I need this for me. It might not necessarily be your need at the moment, but it's the way that I feel connected with you or the way that I deal with stress. And I get it that you don't feel like it, but could you oblige me for my sake? And the obliging might be that you're just stroking me, you're holding me, because usually when that happens, one thing often does lead to another. Our physical system starts to get switched on if there's been that switch on before, and we can do it, even if it's not necessarily with all the heart, all the passion, everything else. But to make it clear, you're not doing this. I'm doing this for me. I'm asking this for me, not for the both of us and not for you, if that makes sense. Owning one's own needs.
And then I know that there's a tradition among couples as well to use an inanimate object. So in other words, you know, the one partner maybe has, I don't know, a candlestick. The other partner perhaps, I don't know, has a paperweight or something like that. And they put that in the immediate vicinity of their significant other to indicate that they want to be intimate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is the question?
So maybe lead us through that process. That I'm not too sure what the clinical name for it is.
Putting out the signs or kind of the markers.
Exactly. With an inanimate object. So in other words, if you, for instance, go to your desk and you find a candlestick on your laptop, it doesn't mean that your significant other wants to burn the house down.
Yes. Well, I think you said it just now about using humor, because I think it's really important in these situations. Sex or the lack of it can become, or often is, such a loaded issue in relationships. And I think it's important to be able to bring humor to it. So leaving a candlestick and a little saucy note saying, this is what I'm feeling like, or like to feel this rather, you know, you rather than this or whatever, might be a lot of fun, and inject some humor into it, some fun into it. And I think that spontaneity as well. And all of that might take away from the heaviness of this, of like, oh my gosh, I haven't got a sex drive anymore. And what does this mean? And I can't be close. And, you know, we tend to make things heavy. But I think it's lovely if we can do that. And if the partner looks at it and says, I can't face this candlestick now. Thank you very much. That was fun. And it's like, okay, well, maybe another time. Think about it. Maybe. And, you know, so it's almost like courting the person from earlier on in the day, as opposed to just going straight into it.
Give us a call now, 011-883-0702. Lorraine Phillips, clinical psychologist, in conversation with me about relationships during lockdown. I suppose we're leaving that for the finale, about how to have that conversation if you've made up your mind and said, I don't even want to wait until lockdown. I am going to pull the plug on this thing before. We will have that conversation before we say goodbye at midday. But the lines are open, 011-883-0702. That's 011-883-0702. Angelo has just called in. Angelo?
Hello?
Yes, Angelo, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Angelo, we're here.
Yes, okay. Look, I'm 76, and it's a little bit of humor. I don't have the morning glory like I used to have, which is not a big problem. But my wife at the time says, can't you get something from the chemist? I went to get a pill. And eventually it was a flat pole on an old building. That's what you said to me. But anyway, it worked out very well. Have a good day.
Before we let you go, Angelo, how have you managed to stay sane in your relationship during lockdown? How have you managed
you know,
to... to do it?
My partner and I, from going back when times were good, in that relationship, it happens. That's it. It's over and done. We had a good relationship, sexual relationship. So we grew up and we came to terms with it. So it wasn't an issue or a problem. I didn't have issues with it. I didn't have hang-ups. I just found it humorous where friends said, go to the chemist, get a pill, and it worked out. The only thing, the pill worked very well, that for an hour I couldn't go out shopping.
Angela, thank you for being honest, man. I think, Lauren, an important part of this is also just being honest, right? Every relationship, like you say, starts with such a flourish, starts with such vigor and such passion and such glory. But it's not going to remain that way forever. And we should just come to terms with the fact that a relationship of 5 years is vastly different to one of 5 weeks or even 50 years.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing. And that's unrelated to lockdown. That's how relationships progress. But if you listen to Angelo, he and his wife obviously have had a very good relationship all the years. They communicate, they joke about things, and things that could be loaded, they're quite light about. And he's not taking it personally if she's saying, go and get a pill. He's going, okay, well, let's deal with the situation. So there's a very good foundation in their relationship already happening. Because, as you say, in a natural course of a relationship, the libido that kickstarts the relationship doesn't hold. I think it just becomes a case of, if you've already got a good sexual relationship, you'll maintain it, but it's not going to be the frequency of those early days.
If you just joined us, we're talking about relationships during lockdown, how to end your intimate relationship after a hectic time at home with your significant other. Lines open now, 011-883-0702. That's 011-883-0702. Drop us a WhatsApp voice note as well, 072-702-1702. And we're in conversation with Lauren Phillips. We'll get to that difficult conversation, but let's have a little bit of fun as we progress here. The overarching theme that I am getting here, Lauren, is just honesty, and we'll talk about that. Yeah. But first, we got Nobabi in Mabopani. Nobabi? Nobabi?
Hi.
Yebo, go ahead.
I want to know, because there's a social distancing thing, and then when you are partners, suppose you, not to say you don't want to have sex with your partner, but you say you just want to respect that measure. How do you get about doing sex?
Lauren, did you get that?
I did get that. Well, I think the important thing to know is, first of all, you've both got to feel that, you've both got to know that neither of you have possibly got corona. Because obviously, if either of you suspect it or are not feeling well or anything, then you want to do the social distancing thing. And that's in all areas, because then the rule is self-isolate even from your partner in your home. But if you both are feeling well and there's no reason to think that you have, that there have been any risk exposures, then it's fine to be intimate with your significant other, with your partner.
Okay.
Again, I suppose honesty is still the best policy there, Lauren.
Yeah, absolutely. To say, I'm nervous about it. What happens if one of us get it, or if one of us has it and we don't know and we can transmit it to the other? And then again, having a conversation about it. But at least this isn't a sexually transmitted illness. And it's a case of, if we've both been stringent with the rules of lockdown, stayed in, minimized risk and feel healthy, then there shouldn't be a problem. But, of course, if there are, then we have to be responsible. So it's not about, again, rejecting you, not wanting to be close to you. It's about being responsible.
We got Martin in Pretoria. Martin?
Hi. I think, yes, I'm a 50 years old man, and I'm in a relationship for about 11 years now. And I think for men, the problem is not attraction, is not communication. That sometimes we let ourselves down. and then we don't exercise, and the stomach starts growing, and then we become lazy, you know. And trust me, and a message to all boys out there, libido is with your exercise. Exercise, run, keep yourself fit. You don't need a tablet. It's hell in the bedroom. When you exercise, go back to your gyming, exercise, run, and the libido will come back. No, I didn't find any other solution. No tablet, nothing else.
And Martin, this has worked for you, obviously, during lockdown as well, right?
Actually, before lockdown, you know, I let myself down. I wasn't exercising or anything, and then the libido went down. And then, but since I'm back into running and staying fit, it's a blood circulation to the extreme part of your body, because basically the genitalia are out. It's like your hand and your feet, how further away they are from your blood circulation, your heart. So if you keep your blood circulation good, it's going to come back and it's going to be good, you know.
Okay. So that's what... Salient advice from Martin there in Pretoria. Lauren, what's your take?
I love it. I mean, I think it's very cute and endearing. But, you know, he does actually make a good point in that not only is it the blood flow, because it's also that when we exercise, we release endorphins into our system. How many times, you know, you get runner's high or we feel finish an exercise workout and we just feel good, which already gives us a sense of competence in a way, mastery. I did that, killed that exercise, which can then translate to the bedroom. I'm feeling good in this area. I'm feeling competent. I'm feeling masterful. And I can act it out here. So I think it's not only a physical thing, but very much a mental, emotional thing as well.
Martin said that it was a case of him remaining active a long time before lockdown. But I suppose Therein lies a problem for a lot of people as well, where they've progressively watched their significant other let themselves go over after the past 35 days, you know, and seen them become a couch potato, you know?
Yeah. Well, and then again, it's, as you say, that honesty and communication of, you know, I love it when you dress up, but it's not to be critical. It's like, look at you, you've turned into a blimp. You just sit around all day, etc. But things like, why don't we do some exercise together? Or why don't we do one of these programs together that are always online where you can do exercise? Or I love it when you dress up for me. I know that every single day you've been slouching around, but it looks so sexy and so hot when you're dressed up and put on a bit of makeup. Or why don't we do an evening out, inverted commas, like having a dinner. So setting the mood. So you're not going, listen here, you're really switching me off, but you're doing it in the opposite way.
Last chance to get your call in to Lauren Phillips, clinical psychologist. We're talking about relationships during the lockdown. We're going from level five to level four. But you may have reached your final level, the end of your tether in your relationship. And we've been building up to this, Lauren, but let's talk about that difficult conversation, especially if we don't take your advice of saying, you know, let's wait until after lockdown before making our decision, before pulling the plug. If you're in that relationship now where you find the opportune time to get out now, you perhaps have a spare room you can move into in the house to ensure that the separation physically starts immediately, how do you broach that subject? Especially if you have not only spent 35 days in captivity with this person, but you've spent several years growing an attachment and growing a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, as I said before, I don't think it's new information. It might be highlighted information. So I think it's a case of sitting down with the person and being as respectful and calm as possible and saying, you know, all this time, there are things that have maybe concerned me or things I haven't been happy with. And these 35 days have really highlighted all the things. So things that before I wasn't sure and I thought maybe could change, I can see that they're not going to change. And I'm not going to be happy here. And this is the opportunity to, as difficult as it is, because we're still in lockdown together, maybe start talking about how we can deal with this when it's over, how we can start to separate. If they're children, how are we going to deal with it with the children? How are we going to have the conversations around childcare, parenting plans? And then, as you say, to put in the physical boundaries, if possible, like let's sleep in different rooms, or let's decide if we can't stand the sight of each other, to almost contrived as it sounds, do up a schedule where you're cooking at that time and I'm eating at that time, so that we don't have to be on top of each other. But the important thing is to make it as respectful and civil as possible, because you're still on top of each other. But perhaps once you've acknowledged, okay, you're driving me crazy, this is not a short-term thing, this is a long-term thing, then it's easier that it's on the table, that then you can do the adjustments of separate bedrooms, limiting conversation, keeping it to just the practical, you know, those kinds of things. Not easy.
Definitely not. And we also need to keep in mind that your partner may, well, not respond very well to this. I'm not talking about just the danger, the worry about people possibly getting physical with the partner that's breaking up with them, yeah, or mentally abusive with words, but also we need to worry about self-harm and threats of things like suicide.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, I think, for anybody who's listening or was thinking about these things, we have to take these factors into account before we have this conversation. Because if, God forbid, the person decides, right, that's it, and I'm slitting my wrists or shooting myself or, I don't know, whatever terrible things can happen, that is an enormous risk. I mean, not in a usual situation. I mean, we can always call police and that kind of thing, but we have to look at what is their mental health like? How fragile are they? Are they going to be able to sustain it? Because then it might be more helpful to start almost like an emotional shutdown, not being as responsive, not being as available emotionally, so that the person starts to feel our absence in a certain way. But to only really pull the plug when it's over and you can call the person's family to be there or make plans where the person is going to a place of support. Because if those risks happen, the emotional fallout and the consequences are disastrous.
Lauren, I could talk to you for another hour, but unfortunately, time is against us. How can people get a hold of you?
They can contact me on my cell phone or on my email. Do you want me to say my number over the line?
Please, go ahead. Feel free.
My number is 083-267-3265.
Lauren Phillips, your email address?
My email is Lorian, Lorian, at dr, like drphillips.co.za.
It's been a fantastic time chatting to you, Dr. Lorian Phillips. How to break up with your partner during lockdown if it's taught you that you can no longer be with them. Maybe wait until afterwards.